Well, good morning. This morning, as we consider the upcoming new year, we're going to take a look at at God's calling on the life of Samuel. We're going to hone in on a few different portions of Scripture this morning, and we will learn how Samuel matured in his faith, and I'm praying that we too will learn how we are being called to keep growing and maturing in our faith. Now, here's the thing about our relationship with the Lord is that it's designed to keep growing, to always be growing. A stagnant faith is never a healthy situation. Now, imagine if I offered you this morning a glass of fresh water that was just flowing from the snow-capped mountaintop, or a glass of stale water that had been lingering around in a swamp for some time. What one would you drink from? I think it's safe to say you would drink the fresh, healthy water. You know, an active faith, a faith that's alive, is a faith that is refreshing, while a stagnant faith, it smells bad. It's been lingering around. It hasn't been activated. It's not fresh. So I pray that you and I will have the faith this upcoming year that is learning and growing and responding to the Lord, that our lives would partake of God's design to have a healthy and a vibrant faith. Let's be mindful that God's will is for you and I to grow closer to Him this coming year and to also be used for His glory. Now, we aren't going to go through our typical chapter study this morning. Rather, we're going to take an overview look of chapters 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel. And we're going to focus in on some specific verses that reveal specific information pertaining directly to Samuel's life and faith. However, I do want to read for us all of 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. And then I will specifically read verses from chapter 2 as we proceed into our lesson. So I will read 1 Samuel 3 at this time. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under, now in Hebrew his name is called Eli, you may say Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down on his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Well, our first point this morning is that maturing in our faith will include learning how to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Now, let's understand that coming to know the Lord isn't about just attaining a secure future in heaven. It's unfortunate if that's people's understanding. The Lord has plans for your life and my life right now, and specifically pertaining to this upcoming year. As believers, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to make a difference in this world. We are ambassadors for Jesus. God has also given his believers the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and he has planned in advance tasks for us to respond to. Ephesians 2:10 teaches, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So are you ready to be used this upcoming year? Are you well aware that your relationship with Jesus doesn't just come into play at the pearly gates, but is applicable right now? He's got big plans for your life, and God has tasks that he has orchestrated in order to use you for his purposes. Are you ready to be used this upcoming year? Are you ready to grow? I remember seeing a commercial years ago that illustrated a young man finishing high school, and then he finishes college, and then he sits down next to his mom and dad, and he says, "I'm all ready now. I know what I'm called to do." And his parents, you could see, they were all ears now. They were proud of their son, and they were excited that they were finally going to see him embark on his career. And he said to them, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to retire." You know, we can retire from our job, but there's no retiring in our faith. There's no retiring in our service to the Lord. There's no retiring from that I've arrived, no more to grow. We are called to constantly be growing closer to Jesus and to be partaking of those works that God has ordained for us. God is not done using you. Do you believe that? God is not done using you. He is not done communing with you. And he's not done growing your faith. Growing in our faith is necessary in order to be a healthy Christian. Now, this makes perfect sense for us as we consider it in an earthly illustration. For example, if a baby didn't grow up to become physically larger or to learn to speak and read or to go to the bathroom on their own, we would seek some help. We would seek some answers. We would be lovingly concerned for their mental and physical health and their growth. But doesn't the same go for our spirits? I believe more so. We are supposed to grow up in our faith and not remain the same as when we were first born, or really even the same as last year. We're not to be the same this upcoming year as we were last year. We are to look a little different. Again, are you ready to grow this upcoming year? Let's be concerned for self if we are just existing or if we have become stagnant and are no longer stepping out in faith. So I pray that you and I will look forward to being refreshed and encouraged in our faith this coming year, and that we will be in it with anticipation, ready to be used however God would want to use us and also mature us. So I look forward to witnessing how you will partake of God's spiritual renewal and refreshment in your life this coming year, and I trust you will be able to say the same for me. Jeremiah 31, verse 25 states, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. So again, I pray for a very refreshing and satisfying upcoming year for you as you look to the Lord to grow you. So let's grab a hold of God's offer to be our source of an energized, confident, and fulfilling faith. Now, as we look now to some verses throughout chapter 2 and also chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, there are several statements concerning the growth and maturing of Samuel. Now, they're physically and also spiritually speaking. I'm going to point out for us five of these statements that I believe will help you and I learn how we need to be growing. So statement number one is in chapter 2, verse 11b, which reads, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. The word minister is the Hebrew word sherath, and it means worship, serve, and wait, or to wait on, I should say. Samuel has his focus on pleasing the Lord and attending to God's plans. Samuel was a servant who sought to worship God and to pursue his agenda. You know, the practice of pushing self aside in order to wait on God is a key principle for our maturing. Now, no doubt as Samuel was just a young boy, he more than likely would have asked himself questions and others questions that he would learn the answers to, such as, how come I live at the tabernacle instead of a home? How come I only see my mom and dad a few times a year instead of every day like the rest of the Israelites? How come I've been dedicated to the Lord, but I'm not of age to be a priest? How come my hair is so long and that my parents never made a 30, 60, or 100-day typical vow to the Lord? Samuel grew in his understanding that his entire life was set aside to serve and wait upon God. And Samuel was faithful to this calling to serve and wait on the Lord. Note that Samuel, he doesn't rebel. He doesn't complain that he's different than all the others. He doesn't become self-focused. He doesn't follow the poor examples of Hophni and Phinehas, who were basically his older brothers. But we read that he ministered to the Lord. The focus was on living to serve the Lord. Imagine that. That was all of our purpose this coming year, individually and corporately. Why are you going to exist this next year, 2019? I'm going to exist to serve the Lord. I'm going to exist to wait upon Him, to serve Him. That is my purpose in 2019. You know, this is a great indicator for us is to ask ourselves a question. Are we serving the Lord faithfully? Have we been using our spiritual gifts by participating in the ministries of the local church? And if so, do we do so focused on God, or are we busy ministering to others and building a good reputation, or perhaps even doing so by ministering to self and seeking to find some personal satisfaction as we go about our duties? So again, Samuel wasn't seeking to please others. He was not seeking to fulfill self, but rather to simply serve God in genuine worship, sherath. Let's be found serving the Lord this upcoming year and doing it with pure hearts and the right motives, which are for God's glory. Secondly, this morning, second statement, I should say, is chapter 2, verse 18a. We read, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord. The first thing to notice in this verse is the word but. It's there because if we back up one verse to verse 17, we read this. The sin of the young men, who, by the way, are Hophni and Phinehas, these are Eli's two sons, The sin of the young man was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Now, if we had time to do a full study on chapter 2 this morning, we'd learn that these two sons of Eli, they were very rebellious. They were totally selfish, and they sought to fulfill their own desires. But not so when it came to Samuel. In total contrast to Hophni and Phinehas, who had been busy ministering to themselves by eating God's fat portion of the offerings, or from the sacrifices of the people. Again, let's also note that these two rebellious men, they were heavily involved in the walls of what we would call the church or the tabernacle. They were very involved. But their motivations in doing so were dishonoring to God. They did not have the right motives or the right heart. But Samuel, he keeps his focus on the Lord, even though people around him were bad examples, even though people around him served with wrong motives. And notice also that Samuel is ministering before the Lord and not before Eli or the people of Israel. Even as a young boy, Samuel, it seems apparent that he knew the only thing that really matters is what God thinks of you. You know, maybe this is the year for some of us to grow more mature in not getting discouraged by the actions or words of others. Perhaps it could be applied this coming year by not stopping to serve when we see poor examples or we see things that bother us, even if it's actually from the leadership, as we read here. And to keep forging ahead, even as selfish or bad motives among the congregation are evidence, to keep ministering as we commit to giving God our best portions. An upcoming year to serve wholeheartedly, no matter what others beside us may or may not do. It's irrelevant. Now, it's relevant as a church family. Yes, I get it. We are to care for one another. But as far as whether it will stop us from serving the Lord, it's irrelevant what other people do. People may come and go this upcoming year. Ministries may grow or decline. Unity may increase or struggle. Leadership may be great examples. I'm trusting they will. Or they may need some correction. Offerings may exceed the budget, or we may really struggle to keep up. But as for me, as for you, are we going to give God our best this upcoming year? Are we going to be fully committed in our service and our worship to Him, regardless of what ones of those things, what direction they go? But Samuel, this is such a horrible situation with these two men, Hophni and Phinehas, and to read this "but Samuel" is just, you can't say hallelujah loud enough. You see, the sin is so wretched, and then we see "but Samuel." How awesome as God looks upon congregations where the sin of some is perhaps clearly evident, as it was here with Hophni and Phinehas, and where the leadership of some is clearly lacking, as it was with Eli the high priest. He wouldn't get involved in the issues that he knew he needed to go address, and he knew because it would impact his own personal family, he was going to butt out, and he did so in rebellion. But how awesome when we see these things taking place, and where even where we can recognize the heart motivations of some is shallow and self-centered, and then God calls out people's names and says, "But not so with fill in the blank." Will God be looking at you ministering to Him this upcoming year, no matter how messed up or imperfect of a congregation we are or will become this coming year? Will He say, "But Roy, but Debbie, but Adam, But Donette, they are serving me faithfully. I see their pure motives in seeking my glory. Will those names be called out by God? Will my name be called out by God? Will your name be called out by God? Consider if your name will be called out this coming year for not giving up amidst problems and for not focusing focusing on giving God the very best fat portions. Third statement about Samuel is in verse 21, part C. We read, "Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." So Samuel's focus here was to seek God's presence over any other task or pursuit. This same conviction is what's needed for any godly leader or healthy Christian today, to be like Mary at Jesus' feet, seeking his presence rather than to become a busy Martha who missed out on much intimacy with Jesus. Now, the previous call, our second point, really, our previous call to be a faithful servant is very important. This current point does not minimize that. But it is pointed out here, or it becomes evident, that service or works is never to be at the expense of an intimate relationship with the Lord. So again, this doesn't minimize our last point that we need to be involved, that we need to be serving. But it's never to be at the expense of our personal intimate relationship with the Lord. Serving in the church is a necessary ingredient in our spiritual maturity. But if we are not walking in the presence of the Lord, then we need to stop and we need to get back on track. What a tragedy when the Sunday school teacher doesn't do their own personal devotions, and now it's Sunday morning, and I guess they gotta step in and they gotta start leading now. That'd be a shame. What a shame when an elder who oversees the ministries of the church hasn't been found being committed to seeking God in much prayer. Well, that's not going to be very good decisions they're going to make, or that person's going to make. What a robbing of the church when the pastor preaches faithfully, but his heart isn't owned by God. That'd be very sad. Partaking of the presence of God through personal time in the Word, through time in prayer, and those intimate moments between God and me is crucial for a believer to keep growing. So look forward to 2019 for much time with just God and you. You know, we can get so bogged down with life. We can have a long, legitimate list of tasks, especially, I would say, you faithful, busy moms. Well, we can get so busy that we can forget the main issue of why we were created, for relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't exist to be a worker. You don't exist to be a mom or a dad, as important as that is. It's not why you exist. You don't exist in order to be a servant in the church. You exist primarily to know God through Jesus Christ. So if we want to grow in our faith, then we have to put other things off to the side and to spend that time growing up and partaking in the presence of the Lord. So I pray that this will be a year for you and I, that our personal time with the Lord becomes highly protected and highly sought after above everything else. The fourth statement we read about Samuel in chapter 2 comes in verse 26, which reads, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." As Samuel was maturing in his faith, he became a blessing to other people. Now, let's not confuse this with an earlier point of how Samuel's focus was on God and not on seeking the approval of others. What we see here is different. We rather see a link that appropriately connects loving God with loving others. The irony here is that Hophni and Phinehas, who served alongside Samuel, they had learned neither. They had no regard for the Lord or for others. Actually, the same word used to describe their great sins, the word great, is also the same word used to describe Samuel becoming a great man of God. Both examples are there in the extreme. Hophni and Phinehas in their great sin, and it's Samuel becoming a great man of God. So while Hophni and Phinehas, while they were a massive discouragement in the life of the church, they were a hardship among the congregation, Samuel, he was an encouragement. Samuel was a breath of fresh air. He was such an uplifting blessing in that tabernacle. You know, I'm so thankful that God always provides some Samuels in the church. Some people who are filled with faith instead of fear, who are filled with a helping hand instead of a pointing finger, who are filled with words of affirmation instead of needless complaints, and are filled with support for their leadership instead of possibly impossible to please. So I'm trusting the Lord, and I'm actually specifically praying that He will provide more Samuels this upcoming year who are a breath of fresh air, who are clearly in unity with God's plans to build up their fellow man sitting in the pew next to them. See, it's pointed out here that Samuel was in favor. This word comes from the Hebrew word tob. And what's really interesting about this word is that when you study it, you will find that it indicates all the fruits of the Spirit. What a fascinating word, really, it is. Yes, to be walking in favor with God and in favor with others in the congregation, we will be walking in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What a reminder that we will need the Holy Spirit to be leading us this upcoming year. So if we are serious and about growing closer to Jesus' coming year, we should be examining how we have been surrendering to the Holy Spirit and where we can see such fruit being displayed in our lives through God's love, His joy, His peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's examine that. And remember, don't examine it for the person next to you. Unless, therefore, they ask you, then you can be free to say yes. But let's examine it in our own life. So at the end of that time, examination, I'm not thinking about where Gerald needs to grow or someone else needs to grow. I realize, okay, God, I see evidence that your Holy Spirit's leading me in these areas, and I see some areas where I need some growth. What a blessing to walk in God's favor and to see people grow more mature in their obedience to the Holy Spirit and more mature in how they speak about and treat others. So I'm looking forward to God doing much work here among us this coming year. The fifth statement comes from chapter 3, verse 1a, which reads, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." Samuel has been maturing in his relationship with God. He has been increasing in his worship and commitment. And Eli, he's a witness to it. Oh, how cool is that? We've already read previously about Samuel serving under Eli, and this is another key principle for us to learn about. Samuel's personal relationship and growth with God included formal accountability. See, we are not called to be isolated Christians. It's also not healthy to not be under any authority. Actually, these both make us perfect prey for the enemy and to become stagnant. For God has called us into fellowship with other believers. Now, I've been told many times, or at least a handful of times, well, you do know that you can be a Christian without going to church, right? I understand your point. I don't believe you can be a healthy Christian, though, who does not go to church, who forsakes the fellowship with other believers. And God has also set forth headship in our churches. We are to place ourselves under a church leadership. To not do so is to really forego God's provisions and instructions. It's a blessing for us, and it's also a clear instruction for us. So Samuel had learned the importance of coming under the wing or under the spiritual headship of his leadership. You know, sometimes it could be a really practical way to grow in our faith, to simply become a formal member of a local congregation, to gain that formal accountability and headship that God desires and offers us to have. Another way that this would additionally apply but not replace the previous application is to have an accountability partner. That could be done for mentoring purposes. That can also be done in small group accountability, such as a men's group. To basically have witnesses of how we are growing or not growing, where we need to continue growing. Do you have witnesses in your life that are able to look quite deeply and effectively in your life and say, I see where you're growing. And brother, I see where you're struggling to grow. Formal accountability. Samuel lived in submission to his spiritual headship, who was Eli, and he had much needed accountability. And these are wonderful and important provisions for you and I as well. Now, I made a note actually earlier this morning. I was making a few more notes as the Lord was impressing some things on me. And Lord impressed on me this morning, actually on the drive here, that there's a difference between a technicality of coming under your leadership versus walking in the spirit of accountability. Huge difference. See, if we become a member at a church, it really means not a whole lot if we won't heed our leadership's counsel, if we won't submit when we need to be corrected. Do we come under them? And it struck me. Samuel came under Eli. He wasn't just, okay, well, that's the fact. He came under him. Do we come under our leadership? Again, that applies not only locally here to the church, it applies in the home. It applies perhaps if we have accountability partners. Do we come under them? Also, regarding practical accountability, do we make every effort to come each week? Are we here? Now, it doesn't mean you can't take a vacation. It doesn't mean that if a child is legitimately sick that you can't stay home and you must feel. Of course, it's for health purposes and germ purposes. It's important that kids at home puking. Yeah, you don't come that day. You know, we also can be respectful to others as well. But if little Freddie had a cough 4 days ago, we're not sure, but we thought we heard it in the next room, and that's a pretty good excuse that I can say this Sunday when I'm not planning to go. Well, there's something wrong there. We need some increase in our accountability. So it should be that we come, and it's a pretty rare occasion when we don't, and people should probably ask, oh, that was strange. I didn't see so-and-so that week. You know, I think sometimes this can be especially applicable to, again, you moms. I remember years ago when it was quite busy for Julia, although it's still, I'm sure, very busy, but it's quite busy with young kids, and I was up here most of the time, and she was coming to church, and sometimes it could be a couple months before she could take in a sermon because we didn't have nursery at the time, and so her Sunday mornings look like? Getting up, getting all the kids ready, coming to church, taking out the little ones to go do her feeding, and the other ones who are noisy and need their own little personal time, and then going home, eating lunch, and then after lunch she would listen to the sermon online. Now, I remember a lady came to her one time and had noticed something. And can I say, I know I didn't ask you ahead of time to share. Can you just share what that lady had said to you?
She had just said she was really encouraged that I came every Sunday morning, even though I couldn't participate in the service. And it encouraged her that I showed up.
So I want to encourage all of us, let's make it a priority this coming year. Let's show up each week. Let's not have the lame excuses of, well, you know, I was just really tired. So-and-so was up in the middle of the night. Not denying that. Guess what? Get little so-and-so up. Let's go to church. I also want to encourage us with accountability and coming under our leadership, too, is when we do come, which I trust we will be very regular this come week, let's be diligent to show up on time. Let's show proper respect to our praise teams, and let's be there when they are starting, they're leading us, and let's be good examples and being on time, ready to serve, and coming under that accountability. So our second main point this morning is that maturing in our faith will include listening to God and responding to Him. In verse 1b of chapter 3, we read, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." During the time of the entire period of the judges, apart from the unnamed prophet who spoke God's judgment to Eli in chapter 2, there are only two other prophets and five revelations given from God to His people. So yes, it was indeed a rare occurrence to hear a message from the Lord during these days. This was a dark time in Israel's history. There was a hardness of heart among the people of Israel. There was a corruption right in the priesthood, right in the very leaders. There was corruption. It's no surprise that at the end of the book of Judges, we read that everyone did as he saw fit. You know, things were a real mess. But here in chapter 3, we see God speak forth. Three times God speaks to Samuel, and he thinks it's Eli, and he runs to him. It's on the fourth time that he understands, or actually that Eli understands, and then portrays that to Samuel, that it's God speaking to Samuel. Now, here's three things I noted in Samuel's response to God's voice. Number one, he immediately responded, even though it was the middle of the night. Sure, he thought it was Eli. I get that. He thought it was Eli the first three times, but he still got up, and he even ran in response. He was lightning quick in being ready to listen and to respond. Are you and I ready to drop everything when God speaks and just go? Just go. Are we ready to get up and start running? You know, there's nothing more important than to just immediately pay attention when God is revealing His calling or His instructions to us. Don't put it off. It could be in the middle of the night that God calls you to get up and pray, or to wake up and read His word, or to attend to that phone call of distress and offer His encouragement or His support. Whether it be the middle of the night or in the busyness of the day, the question begs us this morning, are we paying attention to God's voice, and are we ready to respond to God's calling? Thankfully, we have God's word to rely upon for our instructions and discernment. There's also no shortage of Bibles among us, so I don't think we can say that it's rare for us to hear the Lord. We have His word accessible to us. We have His Holy Spirit. Are we listening to God's word with hearts and hands ready to respond and ready to apply it right now? When God convicts you, when he wants to use you, go. Don't delay. Are we attentive to the Holy Spirit's specific leading in our lives to encourage others, to bless others, to share our faith, to speak life to the broken, to offer help to the distraught, to attend to the needs we see, and to ultimately attend to God's voice in very specific situations? Are we listening? God, what are you asking me to do? What do you want me to do? As he desires to specifically call us and lead us in responding to his directions and plans, like we read earlier in Ephesians 2:10, that he has planned in advance for us. The second thing I note in Samuel's response to God's voice is this. Samuel was obedient in speaking forth God's word. Samuel responded here by speaking forth God's message. Even though he was inexperienced, even though the message was harsh, even though it was against the man who was mentoring him and was the leader of Israel and God's primary spokesman. Wow. You know, all this for a boy whom scholars believe to be about 12 years old in this chapter, chapter 3. This must have been so incredibly hard for Samuel, but he knew he needed to speak forth God's word at any expense to himself or even in contrast to his hearers' desires. You know, recently in our Timothy series, we were warned that a day is coming when churches will no longer tolerate these kinds of pastors who will just speak from God's word, and they will look for those who will say what their itching ears want to hear. Yes, if we are faithful in speaking forth God's word, then we will be called to talk about some uncomfortable topics again this coming year, to talk about sin and hell and God's judgment and warnings and pride and rebellion and gossip and all the things of the flesh. We will not just talk about nice things that will encourage and warm all of our hearts and fill the pews and never convict us. We will talk about some tough things this coming year. In the Bible, God says those who only bring a good or happy message seduce his people. Ezekiel 13:10 says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. Paul also warns us in Acts 20 that leaders are to proclaim the whole counsel of God so that they can be innocent of other people's blood and faithfully protect the church from savage wolves. So again, we see here in Samuel a love for God that is greater than his fear of man and greater than his desire to be liked. Samuel just faithfully repeated God's word to Eli here. And the same should be taking place among those who are growing more mature and serving the Lord. So let's not only listen to God's word this upcoming year, let's be willing to speak it forth to one another as an encouragement and also at times as needed correction. The third thing I note in Samuel's response here to God's voice is this, that he responds with, "Here I am." Now, "here I am" is a term a servant would use to indicate that they have heard you and that their desire now is to obey. So it's a recognition. Yes, I've heard you and I'm ready. What is it you'd like me to do? Here I am. You know, what an awesome way to respond to God. I want to encourage us to come each Sunday this upcoming year with the anticipation of responding to God. Will you come with that anticipation that I'm going to show up this morning, we're going to just hear God's word be spoken, and I'm going to come with anticipation that God is going to speak to me. He may convict me. He may encourage me to step out in faith. He may instruct me to go and put my arm around someone and encourage them. I don't know what he'll do this Sunday, but I know that God is going to speak to me this Sunday when I hear his word, and I'm going to be ready to respond. I'm going to anticipate, looking, God, how do you want me to respond? I'm going to be listening to the messages as they're being spoken forth and go, God, what are you saying to me? How's this apply to my life? That our lives would speak forth, God, I have heard your word this morning. So what steps of obedience do you desire in my life now? What is it that you want me to not only know about you, but to also respond and do in order to glorify your name? The words, or rather the heart cry of here I am, I'm all ears. God, I desire obedience to your leading this morning. You know, that should be the prayer of every pastor for the congregation, that listeners to God's word will respond to the Lord with, here I am, guide me, use me, I'm at your service, Lord. What now? You know, there are a few others in Scripture who took this same great attitude. They too said, here I am, when the Lord spoke to them. We see that with Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 1. We will see it in a few weeks with Jacob in Genesis 46, verse 2. Moses responded that way in Exodus 3, 4. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, 8. Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Here I am, Lord. Thirdly this morning, maturing in our faith will include fellowshipping with the Lord. At the end of chapter 3, we read in verse 19 to 21, the Lord was with Samuel and as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. What a blessed man Samuel was. The Lord was with Samuel. If you think about it, is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than this? To have and to know the Lord is with me. Wouldn't that be a pretty awesome testimony a year from now? And someone said, oh, how'd your 2019 year go? And you're able to say to them, well, I'll tell you this much, the Lord was with me. Doesn't that trump, well, you know, medical conditions, relational tensions, and problems in the church, and problems in the family, and the Lord was with me. It covers everything, does it not? What an awesome testimony. I would rather be able to say it in 1 year from now, the Lord was with me, than to be able to say, the church grew twice in people. It's like we're bursting at the seams, and I'm best health of my life, and everything's calm and collected. I'd rather say, you know what? There's about 60 of us meeting instead of 120. But the Lord, wow, he was with me this past year. I don't know what it's like to go through a massive medical trial, but I trust that I would be able to say the exact same thing with that too. To be able to say in a year from now, if something were to happen to me, the Lord is with me this year. How awesome is that? Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So another thing I'm expecting this coming year is that fear and discouragement will be minimal as we're able to testify and remind ourselves and to walk in the testimony, well, the Lord is with me and he is going before me, and no matter what happens, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. So therefore, it's not applicable in my life to walk in fear or discouragement. You know, this same message of never being left or forsaken by God and therefore not having to be fearful or discouraged, it's repeated all throughout the Bible. I was going to start making a list, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be here a real long time. Perhaps you want to do that this coming week, but it's all throughout this exact same message. It's almost worded the exact same in most as well. So how awesome that we get to personalize this promise because of the Lord Jesus in my life. In other words, because of the Lord Jesus in my life, I will never be forsaken. I will not be a pawn of fear this coming year. I will not be a pawn of anxiety. I will not be a pawn of discouragement because all those things have lost their grip on me. Why? Because I have the Lord Jesus with me. Now, I don't know what 2019 will be like for you, but with Jesus in your life, you can be assured that you will have the Lord with you. What more could you need? And what a powerful truth here of how the Lord reveals himself to us through his word. What a blessing for us to fellowship with the Lord as we open up our Bibles, as we pray for to the Lord, as we count on him to use us and guide us and grow us. I pray this upcoming year will be filled with many times of reading your Bible and then having God's Spirit speak right directly into your life. So that at the end of your devotional time, you're not just able to quote some details about truths in a generic sense, but you're done your devotional time. And you're able to say, God, and that's exactly how that applies to my life right now. And God, now I know exactly what you're leading me to do. That you get a personal, intimate time as you spend time seeking the Lord. You understand how he's speaking to your life. How awesome that we are called like Samuel to be in fellowship and in communion with our Creator. What a blessing we've been given in the Bible and in prayer and in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I would like to finish this morning by praying a blessing on us this morning. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that your people here would be found ministering to you this upcoming year. That they would be found worshiping and serving and waiting upon your plans for this church. We pray that you will increase the number of people involved here in using their gifts, that you will purify our motives in our service to be all about you, to be all about seeking your glory. Lord, I ask that you will free us from becoming discouraged by the issues we see or by the poor actions or examples of others, that you will create in us hearts that will result in hands that offer you the fattest portions of all that we are and all that we have. I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit's strength and tenacity to run the race solely focused on Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, teach us to seek after your presence, to become like Mary, whose heart belonged to you. We know that you desire an intimate relationship with us, and I ask you to prepare us and mature us to partake of your offer this upcoming year. Lord, I ask your favor to be upon your people here, that the fruits of the Holy Spirit would be evident among us, that we would be a breath of fresh air to one another as we encourage and love on each other. Lord, we ask that you will close mouths of gossip, that you will open lips of blessing. Lord, help us to see the tremendous value in accountability. Give us spirits that walk in unity and in submission to our leadership in the home, in the workplace, in the church, before our government, however it applies. And Lord, we ask specifically that you will mightily use our elders here in this church. We ask that you will protect them, and we pray for your Spirit to be upon them. We ask that you will give them much faith, that you will toss off their fears, that you will remove any worries of public opinion, and that you will show them how to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, to be filled with your Holy Spirit's leading and the anticipation of your plans here. Lord, I pray that you will grow us to listen to your voice and be ready to immediately respond. Lord, guide us to become sensitive to situations that you have ordained for us in advance to encounter. Give us the boldness to speak forth your convicting but loving words to our world. Bring us to a place where, as a congregation, we are submitting to you. We are found saying collectively, here we are. Use us however you please, Lord Jesus. Lord, increase our fellowship with you as we study your word, as we pray, and as we respond in obedience to your leading. Give us ears that are ready to listen, mouths that will boast about you, Jesus, and hearts that belong to you. We ask all these things to your glory and in the name of Jesus. Amen.